Okay, so this is podcasting, apparently. Because there's not enough geeks on the internet doing this and playing Minecraft at the same time, because we're so original.
Should we actually introduce ourselves properly? Or?
Oh, yeah, I guess you go first.
Well, I'm Sam, aka Scythe Bakauna, which apparently means some psychic idiot female, because that's me, my 15-year-old self, thought I was so witty.
Yeah.
And you are?
I'm Sean Payne, aka the Russian Gestapo, because I am both Russian and a Nazi. There's a long story involved with it. Basically, someone accused me of having a moustache like a Russian Gestapo, and I thought that was a good idea. And now I get Americans hating me on online video games. It's a thing that happens. It's good for baiting them, actually. They really, really hate it whenever I connect to a server.
Yes.
As we can see, this is a brand new server, because unfortunately our recent Minecraft world got eaten.
Self-destructed.
My base kind of took it, took the world and ate it, because it was so big and epic. I think I just dug too deep, really, I think, in that case.
A bit too tall.
I was a bit ambitious. No, I legitimately don't know why the world ate itself.
Just did.
Minecraft, you know.
Yes.
Is it out of beta now? Out of alpha?
It's been a proper game for over a year or two.
Proper game.
Three.
Inverted commas.
Yes. Well, they're still updating it and giving it content.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for the HD re-release myself.
it's even a console game now, dear.
Oh, okay. Oh, legit.
Yeah, legit.
I should probably explain that this is going to mean nothing to anyone listening to the podcast. I'm using a special texture pack, which makes everything look old school. Gives everyone nice goggles. It's steampunk effect, basically. What's your character supposed to be dressed as, dear?
I'm just a random girl I designed myself, and yes.
Yes.
So, no story behind it. I made my own skin.
And my dude is a corrupt businessman, because... Yeah. That's what you need in a Minecraft world, is someone with no ethics whatsoever.
Yes. In a fancy snoot and suit with snazzy teeth.
That's it. Always trust a guy with one golden tooth and a moustache.
You have a monocle as well? Yes, you do.
I have a monocle as well. But anyway, we should probably get on to talking about other stuff. What are we going to do for stuff in Minecraft?
Well, I was thinking we were just going to... For a while, we're just going to update the server, the spawn area, where we get more materials and stuff, and eventually move on to building an epic base somewhere out in the world.
Okay, cool.
So at the moment, this is where I plan to build the first Painco, Psycho, whatever we're calling this place.
Psycho.
Well, that was what you were calling my areas before. So, yeah, this is be the first sort of spawn area for if it... we ever have guests on, but we probably won't, but we don't know.
No, we never know. We might not even do this again. It might just be a waste of money, us buying a microphone and doing this.
Might
be the worst waste of time ever, but let's give it a go.
Yes.
So what do you want me to do then?
Well, I know you like to mine, or you could help me work out what I'm going to put in the lobby area or something.
I'll just do the mining.
Yes.
Okay.
Material gathering. Just whatever wants to see.
One of the reasons we're kind of doing a podcast is I'm very fond of blogging, but it does take a long time to write blogs. And to be honest, there's a lot of stuff I like to talk about which isn't blog-worthy as such. You can't really spin "I watched a movie" out into an entire blog. So you kind of start writing it, and then it doesn't really go anywhere, and you think, well, I'm never going to publish this, and no one's going to read it anyway. So...
Yeah, so what's some of the topics you've got in your blog folder at the moment that you haven't actually finished?
Well, I'd like to talk about some of the movies we've watched recently.
Yes.
Probably the first one would be Give 'Em Hell Malone, if you remember that one.
Oh, yes, I remember that one.
I know you were falling asleep during that one.
Well, it's like they're trying to be like a Philip Marlowe type character, but at the same time he wasn't all that as witty as Marlowe would be.
The way I've got it in my head is that it's a bit like if you presented a teenager with two or three Philip Marlowe books, told him to go away and read them, and then write his own script.
Yes.
Not only has he not read the books so thoroughly that he's misnamed the character Malone, but he's completely missed the point of the fact that it's not all about gunfights.
Yes.
It did genuinely feel like a teenager had written the thing.
Yes.
And it's a bit of a weird one as well, because the cast... it was a very small cast. It was about a cast of, what, 5 people in the entire film? Apart from the shootout at the beginning. There's a shootout at the beginning where Malone kills a whole bunch of people.
It was very well shot, actually, I thought.
Thomas Jane, who was in the Punisher film, is Malone. And he's very good, and he plays the character very well. And the opening sequence is very well filmed. But after that, it kind of slows down, and it's mostly him dealing with 2 or 3 people, usually Ving Rhames.
Yes.
Ving Rhames, who wears his hat backwards for some reason. I don't know why he stylistically chooses to wear his hat backwards. I know Samuel L. Jackson classically wears a flat cap backwards. I don't know if it's a cultural thing, or if it's a cool thing to wear your hat backwards, but it doesn't really work with fedora.
No.
I mean, fedoras are notoriously kind of geeky anyway. And apparently wearing them backwards makes them better.
Yeah. Fedoras kind of have really bad connotations at the moment on the internet.
In North America it's kind of a symbol of the men's rights activist movement.
Ah.
So I'm never sure if I should be wearing my fedoras in Bristol, because I'm always worried that someone's going to assume that I'm a horrible, horrible sexist.
Obviously you need a I Love Feminism shirt on at the same time as the fedora just to make their heads explode.
Ah, okay. That makes sense.
Yes.
Give him Home Alone. What else is it? Oh, there's that dude from The Green Mile in it. The one who played the asshole security guard.
Yeah.
Except he's basically playing Heath Ledger's Joker.
Yeah, that was really remember? Weird.
He plays a character called Matches, who's kind of got these burns around his mouth.
He really was just trying to be Joker, wasn't
he? At no point does he ever say, do you want to know how I got these scars? But he does actually explain how he got them. He got them from playing with fire. That's what his character does.
Yes.
And there's some over-the-top scenes where he sets fire to his own face by accident, and it's especially funny, I think, but it's not particularly...
slapstick humour, but not quite well done.
Well, it's not even slapstick, it's just kind of a case of... It's edging on Sin City territory, where it's outlandishness for the sake of being a comic book film, kind of thing.
Yeah, it was trying to be many things, but not quite managing to pull them all off.
It didn't really have its own identity either.
No.
It felt very small as a production, and it didn't really have a goal. I think if we explain the plot, it's kind of a case of, from what I get of it, is that Malone goes after a suitcase. He's paid by some guy to get a suitcase.
Yeah.
And inside the suitcase is a little toy. And it's something to do with his son, who was either killed or went missing, or something like that.
I thought his family went into...
Spoilers.
No, right. Of course. I'm good at this.
Yeah, I'm good at this. But anyway, it's to do with the meaning of love, is what Malone says. And so suddenly, these mercenaries are paid to track down Malone and find out what the meaning of love is. And one of them is Ving Rhames, who plays a character called Boulder, with his hat back to front. And another one is this character Matches. I'd love to know the actor's name, but I'm too lazy to look it up. And then there's I can't remember what her name was, the Crusher or something, the Mauler.
Yeah, Mia Mauler or something.
And she's basically the crazy Japanese woman from Kill Bill.
Yeah.
I mean, she might as well have been called... Oh, no, there was a character who was basically the seducer as well, but spoilers on that front.
Hmm.
All in all, I'd recommend it if there was nothing else on. Not a bad film, just... there's better ones out there.
Yeah.
I watched it just after watching the new Punisher film. Well, the later Punisher film. Are you waiting for me to go to bed?
Maybe.
Okay. Watched it just after watching the Punisher film because it was recommended on Netflix. And it's very similar in kind of what they were both doing. Is that there's one guy killing a load of people. But I thought the Punisher film had a bit more money behind it. It was quite clearly a bit more money, a bit more humour.
Yeah.
It kind of pulled it off a bit better. I think it's War Games it's called. Punisher War Games or something like that. It's kind of a reboot of the original Punisher film from 2004 with Thomas Jane. And I kind of sat there watching it thinking, this is basically Tim Burton's Batman. They've taken the three-act structure, whatever it is, from Tim Burton's Batman. There's the scene where the guy, one of the main criminals who's very vain, falls into a vat of glass. and a crusher basically mangles into bits. And then you get the scene that's pretty much lifted from Batman, where he goes to the surgeon and he's all bandaged up. And he's like, "Mirror, show me a mirror." And then he looks and he's like, "My beautiful face." And anyway, he renames himself as Jigsaw, which is the Punisher's main antagonist, I believe. I don't read Punisher comics.
No, we're all DC in this household.
Yes. It's Batman or nothing, pretty much.
Oh, I have Wonder Woman and some definitely. Birds of Prey, and I've started collecting the Batgirl New 52 stuff.
Is that any good?
Yeah, well, Girl Simone. That's for non-comic book fans, that basically means it's good just because she's a very good writer.
Okay. She writes female characters as well.
Well, she used to do Wonder Woman, so I have quite a few of the Girl Simone Wonder Woman stories. Yeah.
That's good. I'm into Scott Snyder's Batman at the moment, where he's had the Joker cut his own face off.
Yes.
Bit of a twist, bit of a unique take on the old Joker front there. Can't say I'm not 100% behind it, because they basically kind of rebranded him as Leatherface for a while, and a bit like a horror thriller movie, he's got the ability to kind of appear here, there, and everywhere now. Which is why there was a massive crossover where he basically took on all the Batman sidekicks. Basically faffing around here. Have we got any food?
Yeah, in one of the chests upstairs in the storehouse.
Upstairs, okay.
You just went to the forge.
That's the forge, okay.
There's a door connecting the two though, so they're practically the same building.
I'll get used to it eventually.
Yeah, I probably should have built this stuff while you were still on the server rather than just me messing around.
That's fine. Oh, food. There you go.
We have a lot of it.
I just took carrots.
So we've just been murdering lots of cows.
Well, I did build a meat farm.
Yeah.
I got lots of room to move around and stuff.
Well, it's a bit crowded back here.
Yeah. Bugger them, they need livestock. Can't you see? I'm a corrupt businessman. You know, do I look like a guy who cares about his livestock? No. I don't know why I look like on your text pack, actually. But...
Well, I'm using Spats, so...
Okay.
Anyone who knows Minecraft textures can probably imagine what it looks like on my texture pack.
Generic brown armour.
Yeah. It looks like you skinned a cow and just started to wear it, but it's all really cartoony.
What was the other film? Oh, yeah, we watched another film last week. What was that? Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai.
Oh, yeah, that was really weird.
That is supposed to be one of the films that all geeks should see.
Yeah.
It's kind of like an American Doctor Who, is what I want to describe it as.
Yeah.
Amazing cast of actors. You've got Peter Weller, Robocop himself, as the Buckaroo Banzai.
Yeah.
Who is a neurosurgeon come rocket car driver.
Martial arts master.
Martial arts master, vigilante hero type person.
Yeah.
So, you know, he'd give the Doctor a run for his money.
Yeah.
Peter Weller, I will be honest, I have a bit of a problem watching Peter Weller in any film that isn't Robocop, because... He's got that kind of high forehead, and you're kind of expecting to see the lip of the Robocop armor on him at all times. You know, like he should be wearing that near constantly. But that's just in my head. Mm. Who else was in it? Christopher Lloyd.
Yeah.
Love Christopher Lloyd. He was in it as one of the villains. Who else was in it?
Clancy Brown, who was Clancy funnily
Brown.
Enough playing one of the good guys,
yeah.
Which was really surreal, actually.
The Kurgan himself is Buckaroo Banzai's right hand man. So you got the Kurgan helping Robocop. Meanwhile, Doc Brown's on the bad side. John Lithgow. He was in it. I'm looking for torches. Have you got any torches?
No, but we have lots of coal and charcoal over here.
I will eventually start some mining. I've got some blocks mined, but I haven't got that far.
Yeah, so...
It's just 10 minutes
and
nothing so far.
Lots of,
okay.
Hello, we've had an interesting conversation.
I hope.
huh. Well, the iron has disappeared from the chest
over. It's in my inventory, so
okay.
There you go, have that.
I wasn't looking for it, I was just kind of...
That's fine.
Well, I was looking for it, but I didn't actually need it, I was just kind of checking out what was in the chest, because I don't even remember what I've put in here.
But yeah, Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai, bit of a weird story, that one. How to explain it? It's got...
Aliens
are trying to invade...
From something to do with another dimension.
Yeah, basically there's this rocket car that can transcend dimensions. Buckaroo Banzai is put in charge of kind of testing it out.
It's a kind of hit from one of the scientists he knows developed this thing that made travelling through dimensions work, because there was another guy, a set of scientists who already developed it but couldn't quite get it to work properly, so there was that. And then suddenly this attracts the attention of some aliens that happen to be watching Earth, because the dimension he travelled through was something like a prison?
No, yeah, it was a prison dimension for an alien planet.
Yeah.
And on the original test run, John Lithgow's character, Dr. Eduardo Lizzo or something like that.
Yeah.
Lizardo. Dr. Lizardo, that's it.
Yeah.
He gets taken over by one of these beings trapped in the eighth dimension. It turns out basically he's taken over by alien Hitler. And so when they start going back to the eighth dimension, the aliens get in touch and basically say, cut that out. Oh no, that's it. The aliens want to get the evil aliens want to get back to
their home planet. Their home planet, whereas the rest of the planet says, no, we don't want them, so if you don't get rid of this dimension hopping device, keep it away from the bad aliens, then we're going to have to destroy your entire planet. So there was that.
I went a bit Men in Black in that bit.
Yeah.
I was kind of expecting the MIBs to turn up. Yeah. There's always a death ray, or some sort of giant alien war machine, as long as they just don't know about it.
Yep.
I highly recommend Buckaroo Banzai. It's a film designed to feel like you've just been dumped into the middle of a long-running TV series.
Yeah. All the way through it, you're there saying, this must be what it feels like to be American watching Doctor Who.
Not American, just someone who doesn't watch Doctor Who. This must be like what it's like for an adult who doesn't watch Doctor Who to just randomly be dropped into the middle of like a Tennant era series or something like that.
Yeah.
Or Smith, any era of Doctor Who, really.
Mostly Ten, I think.
Mostly Ten.
Ten was the one who got all the girls.
Like, it treats characters as if you should know them already, like Clancy Brown's character.
Who else was in it? The guy from Jurassic Park.
Yes, Jeff Goldblum.
Yes, and The Fly.
Is in it as
random guy who dresses as cowboy, who happens to be another neuroscientist.
His nickname is New Jersey, because that's where he comes from.
Yes.
He's the new recruit, so he's the closest thing we have to the new guy, because in every story you're supposed to have a character the audience can identify
with. Oh yeah, the audience lens or whatever.
Yeah, that's it. No. So he's supposed to be there, but he doesn't really have a lot to say, so you don't really learn anything.
He's kind of just in the background.
Yeah,
really.
He just kind of turns up and he's like the audience, he's there for the ride, you know.
Yeah.
That's Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai. And then, because we're trying to watch a new film every week or so, aren't we?
Yeah.
But last night we caved and watched Rain's World.
Which we haven't watched in years, admittedly, so.
I had a lot of problems watching it, because it's kind of...
It hasn't aged well, let's just say that.
I don't even know if it's that. I think it's just a case that we've... Oh, shit, there's lava. We've seen so much of it that you kind of know all the jokes.
Shit. Well, I can't remember how old I was the last time I watched it, but I know there was a point where my dad basically, when I was two, when my dad basically had me and my brother trained to always do the headbanging thing at the beginning when they were listening to Queen. Yeah. It's just whenever Queen comes on now, I have that compulsion to headbang. Which I think everyone
who has ever seen Wayne's World does.
So, yeah.
I was amazed at the amount of jokes in it. I didn't even realise it started with Rain's World. Queen of Some Young Guy, that's an old one.
Yeah.
That's been ages since I heard that. Didn't even know that that was in that film. A Sphincter Says What? Didn't know that was in that one.
There's a couple that seems to be at proper memes, but then we just turned up in Wayne's World. I can't remember what they were, though. That's kind of killed the conversation, hasn't it?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I was just looking at Redstone.
Redstone.
So yeah, Rain's World. And I couldn't finish it, because I can't remember what the plot of the second one was.
That was the one where they needed to make a concert, wasn't it?
Oh, Blues Brothers style sort of thing.
Yeah, you book it and they will come, that kind of thing.
Book it and they will come. We're on a mission from GARP.
Yeah. So all the way through watching one, I was trying to remember what scenes were going to come up in it, and most of the ones I can remember was all from the second movie.
I suppose we should talk about new games coming out.
Yes.
Since E3's happened recently.
Yes.
Possibly not necessarily depressing in terms of what was presented, but one of the most depressing E3s ever, just because the games presented were overly serious.
Yes.
I, for one, am pleased to know that all my favourite franchises are now going to take a really, really dark turn. The fun-loving Uncharted appears to have been given the Last of Us treatment.
Yeah.
So I expect someone's going to die at the end of it. Like Sully will get killed, or Nate will get killed, or we'll make a sacrifice of some sort. I don't know. I just like Uncharted to be fun-loving, mindless adventure.
I kind of get the feeling that it's not... that they're just trying to market it that way because they think that that's the way to get more people intrigued, but the story itself, I have a hard time believing that they're going to suddenly veer off in a completely different direction, because otherwise they're going to lose their fan base, aren't they?
I don't know, there's got a lot of people who liked The Last of Us. I didn't like it myself.
Well,
but
I liked it, but I'm into all that character driven kind of narrative stuff.
And you like zombies?
Well, zombies are a plot device. They're not really... I wouldn't be all that interested if it was just focused on the zombies. They're just a means to get people in a certain situation. You know,
I wouldn't even say that... Like, I mean, Last of Us is character-driven in the cutscenes, but outside of it, it was all pretty much same old
well,
shoot the zombies gameplay.
Well, the thing is, well, you didn't watch me play it, did you? Because I don't do shoot 'em ups that well. I tend to sneak around. Like when we played Bioshock Infinite, I know I was playing it wrong because wherever we go on YouTube, there's people going up really close to everyone with shotguns and stuff and running around on the sky rails and all that. Whereas you watch me, I'm there with a sniper rifle at the beginning of each level, setting up a few raven traps, just kind of turning it into Splicer Safari.
But that was the beauty of that game, was that you could play Bioshock Infinite however you wanted to, really.
Yeah.
It was still a mindless shooter versus the character-driven cutscenes, which didn't really match up really well.
No.
I spent the entire game with a machine gun and a pistol, for instance. And yeah. I know I've read that some people played it as a melee combat fighter.
Yeah.
So there was dudes who just used all the plasmids... Vigors.
Yeah.
To...
Not plasmids.
Although, in the recent DLC, it turns out they're one and the same.
Yeah.
Spoilers. yeah, pull characters, pull enemies close to them and just melee combat them.
Yeah.
Which I think is pretty cool. You know, I never saw that side of it. And I don't know, I might go back and play some different styles at some point. But, what was
you
about?
You right past some diamonds here, dear.
Did I?
Yeah.
I don't have an iron pickaxe.
Neither do I, I'll have to go get one.
I'm using a stone pickaxe right now.
Yeah, The Last of Us is supposed to be a little bit like that whole one play however you want thing as well, because when we watched our mate play, he was running around just killing everything in his way, and you watch me, and again I'm just there plodding along, just kind of trying to sneak up on anyone and conserve ammo for as long as possible. But that's just how I like to play. I do Uncharted the same way. I try to always do the stealth segments, and that really, really annoys you, doesn't it?
It annoys me because the stealth segments in Uncharted are rubbish. They are very badly implemented. I don't think they were honestly expecting anyone to seriously use the stealth segments in that game, and yet there you are, quite clearly, using them.
And I actually succeeded in most of the areas, at least for most of the things, which really, really annoyed you.
Yeah, it's also because you're missing out on all the epic gunfights.
Well, I get bored of too many gunfights in a row, don't I? Because that's where I didn't finish Uncharted 1 on the first playthrough. I recently went back to the Uncharted series and started playing through again, and I did actually complete Uncharted 1 finally, but I was really, really missing the stealth segments, because I do actually really, really enjoy just being able to sneak up on a guy and just... Well, it's just that kind of sense of accomplishment when you know you've just taken everyone out silently, not alerted anyone, and you just managed to get all this extra ammo.
I get it from the other way around. I prefer like shooting everyone and then be like, whoa, I actually survived that, that's cool. I treat it more like an Indiana Jones film.
Yeah.
That's how I like it. And so I'm a bit reluctant to suddenly see it's turned into thriller territory, basically. They've changed the genre. It's gone from mindless action adventure film to suddenly serious kind of maybe Taken type sort of thing, you know, with Liam Neeson.
Yeah.
I don't know, I'll give it a go. You know, I'll still play it.
at the same time, I'm kind of happy that in this one, Drake's actually appears to have settled down with Elena rather than her dumping his ass for like the fourth time in a row.
Because he's so unreliable.
Yeah. So addicted to the lifestyle.
I'm surprised Sully's still around, to be honest. He's in his like 70s or 80s now.
Yeah.
When, in the time frame of this game. I still want a Sully prequel game at some point. I just want to play a Sully in his youth. Because I think there's some good stories there.
Yeah.
Harry learned to fly and all the rest of it, you know. Maybe there's some sort of army background there or something.
Yeah. Diamonds. We were kind of joking at the end of Uncharted 2 when we were there saying, next game is the Sully and Chloe power hour. We kind of, I would enjoy playing that, actually.
I don't know, because it was, I think they're playing that for laughs, because Dirty Old Man, try to entice.
Yeah, I would, but at the same time.
Younger woman.
Yeah, at the same time, Chloe and Sully, two of my favourite characters. I don't get along so well with Elena just because she's the good little two shoes.
Yeah. I'd like to see a Cutter game, actually. That'd be good.
Yeah, that'd be
Cutter
good.
Cutter and Chloe would be interesting.
Well, just to see him make his way all the way through an Uncharted game and not suddenly disappear halfway through.
Yeah, it depends on whether his actor decides to sign on for another Lord of the Rings or not, I suppose.
Yeah.
he wasn't going to turn it down, was he? When Peter Jackson comes knocking and says,
have to be,
I want you to play one of the dwarves, you're not going to say, nope, sorry, I've got to finish my commitments to this video game.
Yeah.
Which is why I think that's why his multiplayer character doesn't have any lines.
Probably.
I think he's got some grunts, some generic grunts from one of the henchmen.
It'd be kind of cool if they could retroactively go back and just give Cutter a couple of lines.
Well, they could, but I think they just don't bother once they've planned it. It's the same as the skins they had for Uncharted 2, the PlayStation Hero skins.
True.
So you could play as Cole McGrath and all the rest of them, but they were really silent characters, and I think that killed it for me a bit, because you kind of want to hear your favourite characters talking, really. And they could have gone back and added some random clips from the games, but I think there was contractual problems in terms of licensing.
But they did manage to voice Roman, though, so there's that.
Yeah, they actually brought a voice actor back for that, which is awesome.
Yeah, he does have some of the best lines in them.
Well, shit my pants.
I'll be a monkey's uncle.
I'll be a monkey's uncle. What craftsmanship.
There's a lot of skeletons and creepers outside.
Oh, good. I'm down in the mine.
Yeah, I know. I can go back to the mine as well. I just wanted to deposit the diamonds.
I don't really have a plan for how I'm going to the mine. I'm kind of just going in random directions.
Yeah, I noticed that.
I'll probably try to double back on myself now. See if I can find anything of interest.
Hey, I picked up 6 diamonds, by the way.
Okay, that's cool. Half of those are mine!
Okay.
I need those for diamond pick at some point, I guess.
Yeah, I could make 2 now for us. Or we could just share one diamond pick and then leave the other diamonds for enchantment.
Yeah, just put them away. I don't need them right now. I'm just using a stone pick. I'm being economical.
I'll put some diamonds here ready for when we eventually want to pick up some obsidian, and then I'll leave it in the chest in the forge.
I don't know what that is on my texture pack. I'm just going to hit it.
That might be gold.
Yes, it's gold. I need an iron pickaxe then.
I'll deliver you mine if you want to just mine around it for the time being.
Yeah, I will do.
I am going to have to get something to eat.
What's the other guy? Oh, yeah, just so listen there, we've got birds sometimes. You might hear Jigen and Willow just randomly chirping in the background.
Yes. Guess what series we like?
Well, no one's going to guess mine because mine's in a really obscure anime.
Yes.
And they might get yours.
Well, there's a 50-50 chance they might get it, because there's at least 2 pop culture characters called Willow.
Yeah, it's not the dwarf. I'll put it that way.
It's the other one.
It's the other one. Although we don't know what gender Willow the bird is, so it works either way, really.
Yes.
Mine's from a very obscure kind of... It sounded a bit like a hipster now. Oh, it's so obscure you wouldn't know it, you know. Leap on the fur.
It's not that obscure.
It's not obscure in Japan. They love that
True.
Shit.
Well, he's got so many movies and a new one comes out every year, doesn't it?
Yeah, but they just don't release them this side of the pond. There's just no interest. Which I never understood, because it's basically James Bond meets Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, you think that maybe that in this country?
I mean, the second series was translated into English. But trying to get hold of that in a Region 2 DVD is like gold dust.
Yeah.
I think they've only ever released Castle of the Cagliostro, and some of the others. But Lupin the Third is basically a gentleman thief. He's supposed to be the grandson of Arsène Lupin, for you literature folks out there. That wasn't actually a legitimate endorsement either by the writer's estate.
Which is why he's called Wolf in this country.
Yeah, in America they actually translate his name to Wolf, which is what Lupin means. Or Lupin, however you want to pronounce it.
Lupin. We have a couple of the other movies on DVD, like the Twilight Gemini.
Yeah, Twilight Gemini and Harry Mao's Treasure.
Yeah.
They were some of the American translations from the Dragon Ball Z team, I think.
Oh, yes.
Because Lupin's voiced by the guy who did Goku in some of the translations.
Oh, yes.
Which is a bit weird.
A little bit.
And Jigen's voiced by Bato from Ghost in the Shell.
Yes.
Which is also a bit weird. But I do like Lupin, but I just wish they'd release more in this country, really. They don't even release the manga now, because no one was buying it, apart from me. I could really use an iron pick down here.
Yeah, I'm coming.
Okay.
Sorry, I was teasing some skeletons and a spider.
Okay.
Because it's raining, so they're not despawning. God damn it.
Anyway, back to E3, because we tailed off there.
Yeah.
Onto Lupin the Third.
Yeah.
Metal Gear Solid 5.
Yeah.
Recently, I was a bit doubtful, because it looked a bit serious. Uncharacteristically serious. In fact, some of the themes covered in the prequel game were a bit controversial.
A little bit.
How do I explain it without giving too much away?
There's
bad touch involved between a young underage boy and a young woman, I believe.
Yes.
And then there's a point where she's violated in a horrible manner, and some explosives are involved. So it's nice to know that MGS is keeping
diamonds.
To its.
Get back here, that pig.
Nice to know MGS is keeping to its nice, lively. I'll get the diamonds, don't worry, I'll come back in a minute. Where are they? I'm coming up the staircase.
By the torch.
Okay. Nice to know they're keeping to their lively, upbeat kind of setting there. there's a channel on YouTube, Super Bunny Hop,
yes.
Which I highly recommend, because they do some very good critiques. I think the bloke's name is George. I can never pronounce his surname. Weidman. And he did a bit of coverage on the prequel. And he hit the nail on the head. He basically there's no kind of tone consistency in MGS at the moment. It seems to be they want to do super serious kind of dark stuff, but then in between you're running up behind dudes and attaching balloons to them to fly them back to your base.
Yes.
That's
a huge and a half.
Yes. And it's also a bit distasteful if they're going to go down dark territory, because Metal Gear Solid is kind of full of these. Japan's got this weird thing about female anatomy, isn't it? In terms
yeah.
of this is the country that spawned the dating game and other associated sort of
body pillows and such.
Body pillows, yeah, that says everything really, doesn't it? So in MGS there's a healthy dose of good old teenage sexuality about it, in terms of, phew, look at that woman and her tits. Look at the knockers on that.
I was getting weird images of Hideo Kojima just being like Clarkson in his spare time.
Well, it pretty much that's the
that's
seems to be the attitude. And there's, like in the previous game, Peace Walker, you can view the models, the character models of any female character. None of the male characters, just the female characters. And no matter how many layers of clothing they're wearing, there's jiggle physics on the breasts.
Yeah, it's a bit scary.
Which is creepy. It's just, you know. I mean, that game was rated teen, so maybe that's the kind of thing they were going for. And even in previous games, you've got scenes where you're in cutscenes, you can press R1 to look through Snake's eyes, and he's looking at some woman's tits, and it's like, oh, yeah. Where's this diamond you were pointing at?
By the stairs.
I'm on the stairs.
No, not that stair. Okay, give me a sec, I'll come down.
So, I don't know where they're going to the dude with Metal Gear Solid. I've just seen a trailer for it, which is encouraging, because it looks a bit more like it's got a fun element to it. I was worried it was going to be all dark, kind of serious. I was actually worried it was going to be really hard, because I thought that the prequel was really difficult, because there's no camouflage technique in it as such. You're basically just big boss kind of running around a 1970s version of Guantanamo Bay, and he hasn't got any camouflage on. It's just him. So if he gets seen, you kind of have to knock a dude out before he raises the alarm. One element I do like is that because there aren't any... is that diamonds, is it? Oh, that's what they are, my texture pack. See, I did see them, but you said they were gold.
Ah.
Okay. Now we know what they are.
Yes. I can't really see your screen properly from this angle.
That's fine. What was I saying about Big Boss?
I mean, you're going on about the camouflage and how it's more difficult.
Yeah, it's a lot more difficult. One of the difficulty is that because the area doesn't have any loading screens down, Metal Gear Solid has always classically been a series of corridors.
Yeah.
Styled to look like big wherever you're supposed to be. Yeah. So, like in Metal Gear Solid 3, it's supposed to be a big open world, but it's actually a series of corridors styled to look like a big open world.
Yeah.
So it looked like sandbox rooms and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Now, because they've got enough processing power, they can basically just take the entirety of a base, and when the alarm's raised, it's consistent across the entire base. So the alarm goes up and the entire base is on alert. You know, there's nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. You can't go to the next corridor, have it load that section of the corridor, and suddenly you're, you know, they're looking for you again, sort of thing. Which I thought was very difficult. And I like that, though. That's pretty cool. But then they seem to have brought back an element from the previous game, which is the... what do they call it?
What, Fulton Recovery System?
The Fulton Recovery System. Classically used by Batman in the Dark Knights to retrieve...
The accountant.
On the television.
Yes.
Never trust a guy on a television. He always squeals.
It's not quite the line.
Not quite, I can't remember the line. Something like that. And he looks like a squealer.
Yes.
And then the accountant just turns the TV off. Which, in any case, makes him look like he's lost the argument. But anyway, the Fulton Recovery System is back. This is something they've been exploring with Metal Gear Solid for a while now. In that Portable Ops had this mechanic where to recruit dudes you had to knock them out. Then there's a guy called Campbell who had a truck parked nearby, and he had to drag the dude back to the truck where he'd convince them to join your side. Now, you're never told what methods you use to convince the people to join your team. I don't really want to know. I've got visions of various sexual implements.
It's Campbell's love truck.
I called it Campbell's love truck. So you're dragging dudes back to this truck. It's a little bit grotty. It's just a military truck. There's one dude in there, and you got to think by the end of a mission, there's probably like five dudes in there.
Yeah.
I don't really want to know what he's doing to them, really.
No.
But that was the first element of kind of recruitment.
Yeah.
In Peace Walker, they go down the route of this Fulton Recovery System, which is basically a balloon that you strap on to a dude, and it whisks him away to a plane who then catches him, and then you kind of reason with them in the brig, and they're like, oh, well, Big Boss is pretty cool. Yeah, I'll join your team. I think maybe they just get told what dental benefits are.
Yeah.
And like, hey, screw that dude I'm actually working for. The American government? Screw him. You know, I'm getting dental with these guys.
Mm. I can send my kids to college. Stuff like that.
I can settle down and have a family, you know, after I've served with this mercenary army.
Yes.
And then they've brought the Fulton Recovery System back for MGS5. But now, ridiculously, you can capture cars and apparently tanks with it.
And supply containers.
And supply containers.
Like really big shipping container kind of thing.
Yeah. Oh, shit, that's creeper. Creeper, 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 creeper.
Need help?
I don't have any swords.
I'm coming.
I got a stick. A pickaxe.
I'm coming.
Sorry, he's dead. He's dead. Okay. So you can now capture pretty much anything. And I thought maybe they'd kind of tone that down for MGS5, because I always find the Fulton Recovery System kind of makes it really easy, because you just run through an area and you knock dudes out, and then you attach a load of balloons to them. And that's it. That's the area clear. They don't respawn. Oh, that's another creeper. Yeah, this is Creeper Hole, basically. But I really want to go up there.
Sounds like a plan.
So, I don't know. I'm a bit torn on the whole Fulton Recovery System. I did like the team-building stuff.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty cool. We shall have to see. I'm not... Still, jury's out on Kiefer Sutherland, though. Whether I'm entirely sold on that.
Do you want to discuss your theory on... what... what's actually happening in the Metal Gear franchise, or
what you mean in terms of, I think Kiefer Sutherland's actually a stand-in for Big Boss.
Yeah.
And that the real Big Boss is actually undercover or something.
Yeah. Well, you were thinking about VR as well, weren't you?
I mean, there's a couple of theories going around at the moment about MGS5. Some people are saying that it might be a VR simulation because you keep getting these weird flashes appearing during all the trailers. Like, every time they whip out a bit of technology that probably wasn't around in the 70s. It's difficult in the MGS storyline because they kind of is a bit anachronistic in most games. you got dudes whipping out, like, sonar and stuff in the 60s, and so it's a bit all over the place. But you get various kind of these little technical flashes whenever I just realize I'm getting shot and I haven't actually took diamonds back yet. You get these little technical... That's right, I'll run away. You get these little technical flashes whenever someone pulls out something, and some of the terminology makes it seem like maybe it's a recounting of events, so it might be a VR mission. Another popular theory is that Kiefer Sutherland's snake is actually Decoy Octopus, because this is the beginnings of Foxhound, so he's actually a dude pretending to be Big Boss. I'm not so sure about that one. I think he's actually playing Big Boss. And all in all, it's not a bad, not a terrible decision, because I was hoping it was going to be Richard Doyle, who did the voice of, spoilers, Big Boss at the end of Metal Gear Solid 4.
Looking good, dear.
Looking good, I know. Because you've kind of got to have this intermediary between David Hayter's kind of like, Colonel, what are you doing, man? Yeah. All the rest of it.
Brilliant snake,
yeah, I know. And then you got to get to Richard Doyle, who's all kind of old and doddery and talking like this. And then Kiefer Sutherland's kind of in the middle there. He can kind of do the gruff thing and the softly spokenness. So it's probably a good choice for an intermediary. But I'm not entirely down with them not inviting David Hayter back for just some, you know, like a cameo or something.
We don't know what's happening yet with that, do we?
No. Well, according to David Hayter's Twitter, he hasn't been told anything. He's not coming back. He's very upset because all the fans keep thinking that it's all one big troll when he's not actually in it at all. So I know that there's going to be a fan remake of the original Metal Gears as well.
Yes.
In fact, I could probably touch on kind of the confusing elements of this Metal Gear storyline right now, because I've been thinking on this for a while.
Yeah.
I was tempted to write a blog post about it at some point, but
yeah.
Let's talk about how ridiculous Metal Gear Solid is in terms of some of the storyline elements.
Okay.
Because at this point, we're up to the fifth game in a franchise which has enough story to kind of drown a whale in, really. I don't know how you drown a whale, actually. Bung up its
blowhole.
Choke a whale. You could choke a whale with the amount of plot elements of this in the Metal Gear storyline. It's a bit like being dropped in the middle of EastEnders and you haven't watched it ever or for a while. There's lots of characters, lots of stories, and it can be difficult to kind of hop on at this point in the storyline, I suppose. But let's talk about one of the more ridiculous elements, which kind of summarises quite nicely the ridiculousness of some of the Metal Gear storyline stuff. Yeah, there's still mobs there.
Yeah, I went around it. You notice that there's a staircase kind of going into this place.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah. I still don't have a sword. Yeah. Oh no, I got a stone sword. So, here's the plot element: Liquid Snake's arm.
Yeah, what the hell?
Let's talk about Liquid Snake's arm, shall we? So the first game was pretty much a straight up. Well, I say the first game, just to be even more confusing. The first game, Metal Gear Solid, isn't actually the first game. It's the third game in a series that started on the MSX, which is a console which wasn't even in this country, I don't think.
No.
So the first game isn't even the first game. There's actually some more plot behind that. Mm. In the first game, which I mean the PlayStation 1, Solid Snake is sent in to infiltrate a base full of rogue soldiers.
Yeah.
Because his old unit, Foxhound, has gone rogue, and they're threatening to use a nuclear missile to start a war or something like that. They want money, and they want the corpse of Big Boss for reasons.
Yeah.
Big Boss was... Oh, shit. Big Boss was originally the guy who ran Foxhound. He developed it. So he's lauded as a hero and the rest of it, and they want his corpse.
Yeah.
So Snake's sent in. Lots of stuff happens, and Liquid Snake is killed at the end. Spoilers.
Somebody gave me a carrot.
So Liquid Snake gets killed. There's only one other survivor from... No, sorry, two other survivors from Shadow Moses. Three survivors. There's Otacon, who's his right-hand geeky man. Solid Snake's friend, anyway, by the end of it.
Yeah.
There's Meryl Silverberg, who's a trainee soldier.
Yes.
Also Colonel Campbell's niece slash daughter, depending on which ending you get. And there's Revolver Ocelot, who was my favourite character in the original Metal Gear Solid. I thought he was amazing. Even though he had one boss fight. Ow.
Yeah. Careful death.
I'm just going to heal a minute. So, those are the survivors. It turns out Ocelot's actually working for the president or something like that. The sequel...
I got the creeper.
The sequel... where to start? Through events in the sequel, it turns out that Revolver Ocelot, having lost his arm in the previous game, has somehow got hold of Liquid Snake's arm, because when Liquid died, it was from a heart attack, chemically induced heart attack. He's got hold of Liquid Snake's arm, and he's had it grafted onto himself. I'm actually going to cut to the third game now, because there's a bit of storyline here in the third game. This is how confusing this is.
Yeah.
In the third game, we meet Revolver Ocelot's mother and father, or like heavily implied anyway.
Yeah.
His father was a Russian. Spirit medium. He could channel the souls of dead people, basically. And he was killed by Revolver Ocelot's mother, who was the boss, you know, female kind of hero and the rest of it.
World War hero.
And her baby was taken from her while she was still in the service. She doesn't know what happened to it. Although I think it's heavily implied in MGS3 that she knows that Ocelot's her son, you know, because there's bits where she's doing all this kind of motherly scolding.
Yeah, I think she was supposed to be quite a maternal character anyway, so it's kind of hard to tell.
So it's difficult to tell. I think she knew.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to Metal Gear Solid 2. So, Ocelot's tooling around. He's stealing, like, Metal Gears now, in the opening act. And spontaneously, he gets this kind of pain in his arm, and suddenly he's talking with Liquid Snake's voice. And it's never explained this, but presumably because his father was a spirit medium, he can also channel the spirits of the dead. Which is why Liquid Snake has taken over his body.
Hmm.
Through this arm, which is why we get a classic line of dialogue, you know. I live on through this arm! That's, you know, serious business here.
Yeah.
So that happens. And then by Metal Gear Solid 4, Liquid's apparently taken over Revolver Ocelot's body wholesale.
Yeah.
So he's renamed himself Liquid Ocelot. But he's talking Revolver Ocelot's voice. That probably should have been the first giveaway, really.
Yeah.
Because by the end sequence, you realise that Ocelot's actually had Liquid's arm removed.
Yeah.
Which kind of makes sense, you know, if you've got some dude taking over your body every...
Yeah, 5 minutes.
5 minutes. A bit of an inconvenience when you've got your own agenda.
Yeah.
He's had it replaced with a cybernetic one. But he's still convinced he's Liquid. And what it is that he's actually hypnotised himself to believe that he is Liquid Snake. To fool an AI system that requires Liquid Snake... I never understood that bit, actually.
No, actually, I don't understand why he had to be Liquid Snake over. It was just to fool the Patriots, but they didn't say why...
It was to fool the Patriots because they thought Liquid was kind of on their side, I guess?
Yeah.
Patriots is an AI system.
Yeah.
So this is very difficult. See, there's lots of things I'm touching on here, which I haven't explained before, but this is the kind of ridiculous, confusing canon you have to deal with in Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah.
So, Metal Gear Solid 5, more of the same, please. I'd like some more ridiculousness. I mean, we've already got, possibly got, like, a metal arm, which I think is nicked from a previous character who used to use it as a cigarette lighter. Which there's a Zadornov from the previous game. Look, for here, so Metal Gear Solid 5 might be alright. Is there anything else at E3 that really took our fancy? Ooh, New Grim Fandango remastering.
Oh, yes.
Fantastic.
Yes.
PS4 exclusive, finally. There's a reason to have a PS4. Just for Grim Fandango remastering.
Yeah, never mind all the other games you were looking forward to.
No, just Grim Fandango. I didn't realise because you get this whole thing where someone's reading out a letter from supposedly a 12-year-old girl or something.
Yeah.
Say, "Dear Disney, I would really like to play old..." And then it scrolls out, it turns out Tim Schafer's written the letter.
Yeah.
And he's there. I didn't realise Disney had the rights to Grim Fandango.
Oh.
I guess... No, it doesn't make sense, actually, because
it's... Because they bought LucasArts.
Yeah, it was LucasArts. So, yeah, that's pretty cool. Do you think that means that they're going to start using the Grim Fandango as kind of like a Disney Infinity type thing?
Probably, if it does well.
Which would be good, because I'd love some more kind of Grim Fandango in my life.
Get Disney Infinity though, are you?
No, I'm not going to get Disney Infinity. I'd probably buy Manny Calavera if they did a figure of him though.
True.
They've never done any figures of the Grim Fandango kind of characters, so... My name is Manny Calavera. I'm a travel agent.
Yes.
And I want a bigger cut. I love that game.
Yeah.
But I guess if they remaster it, do you think they'll make the puzzles any more obscure? Ow.
Capable of getting it any more obscure? Because I know some of it was pretty out there.
The logic is typical Tim Schafer, what the hell are you smoking man logic. There's a particularly confusing sequence involving pigeons, balloon animals, bread, and... some sort of metal dish on a roof.
I vaguely remember you solving that.
Yes, and I'd say the puzzles in Grim Fandango are just slightly less difficult than the ones in Monkey Island 2, which I never understood. I don't see how anyone completed that back in the day, because that's just hard. The logic in that was off the wall. So I'm looking forward to that. Murdered Soul Suspect is out soon. I'm quite looking forward to that.
Yes.
Oh, that's a zombie, but he can't get down here. I'll just punch his kneecaps. But anyway, what about Lara Croft? You're a Lara Croft fan.
Yeah, well, my feelings on the new Tomb Raider franchise are very complicated. Because obviously, I grew when I was a little girl, basically my dad's always been a massive gamer, so he's I've grew up watching him play Tomb Raider, and then when it eventually came onto the PlayStation 2 with... Anniversary and Legends, I started actually playing it and getting really into it, so that has always been kind of like this big part of my life.
But do you like the new Lara?
Well, that's it. I really enjoy the playstyle of it. I liked the whole sneaking around, taking out things, but the problem is it did not feel like a Tomb Raider game. It felt like you could just swap Lara out with someone else and it would be fine, because it's just, you weren't playing as Lara. I enjoyed the story, I enjoyed how it played, it just, that was not Lara, as far as I'm concerned. That was Clara Loft.
What if she becomes the woman she's destined to be in the next one, like the trailer says? In which case, I mean, she's going to get really big boobs, she's going to get some more junk in her trunk, and tie her hair back, and buy a pair of pistols.
Again, I have really complicated feelings on it, because when Tomb Raider first came out, Lara, I've always considered Lara to be like the female James Bond. You didn't need any backstory for her. She was this really bored aristocrat, with more money than sense, and was an adrenaline junkie.
That's a fair description of James Bond.
That's all the backstory you ever needed with Lara. But then the PS2 games came out. As well as the movie and stuff, and it became a case of we need the backstory to explain why this woman's doing this kind of thing. So suddenly she had all these daddy issues, and she was trying to rescue her mother, and it went from feeling like each story feeling like a standalone thing to this being a case of we must explain this character, and that kind of irked me a bit, because it just seemed to be stepping away from proper Tomb Raider games.
Okay, so you don't like the fact that they're trying to kind of make her a deeper character then?
No, I think it's completely unnecessary.
Is this basically the same argument for why I don't like where Uncharted 4 is going?
Yeah! I want to say it's partly why you weren't all that on board with the latest James Bond thing, where he was getting into...
Well, I wasn't on board with James Bond having kind of a mother figure with M, because she's only been around since... Judi Dench's M has only been around since GoldenEye.
Yeah.
even then she was there to pretty much point out the fact that he's a relic of the Cold War. You know, there's a lot of tongue-in-cheek kind of jabs at that. I don't think they're ever that really affectionate towards each other. It's more Craig and Judi Dench kind of had that kind of rapport.
Yeah.
But Pierce Brosnan, I don't think, ever had that kind of relationship with her. So for him to suddenly be like crying over her death and stuff, I thought was a bit extreme. Especially since Craig's Bond is supposed to be this monk who's, you know, trained monk sort of killer sort of thing. He's suddenly crying over this old woman who he's kind of went above and beyond to try and protect.
Yeah.
I don't think we ever really saw that bond get generated. The bond between Bond. The Bond.
Yeah.
Would you agree that you don't really see it in Quantum of Solace? You don't see it in Casino Royale?
Well, I don't really remember Quantum of Solace.
The closest you ever see her kind of really care about him is putting a microchip in his arm to keep track of where he is at the time.
Yeah.
So I think basically E3 gone a bit too serious, really.
Yeah.
Didn't see any. I mean, there's not really any new stuff out either, is there? Really, in terms of this. All of the, okay, there's Sunset Overdrive.
Yeah.
Splatoon. For Nintendo.
Yeah.
Couldn't really think of anything else that kind of stood out.
Game publishers are kind of afraid to go out and do new, unique storylines these days because, you know, game budgets are so bloated. If you want something new, you have to go find an indie game rather than rely on
it's a shame
the main
because,
developers.
You know, didn't need to have indie game developers originally because you had cheap hardware. Not cheap hardware, sorry.
Yeah.
Cheap to develop for hardware.
Yeah.
So that games companies could just afford, you know, you made it accessible, which is why the PS2 and the PS1 had a huge library of games.
Yeah.
Because pretty much any game developer could pick up the hardware and just build stuff for it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that meant that you did get a lot of dross.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you got some real diamonds in the rough sort of thing. Siphon Filter, for example, I remember that being on the PlayStation. That was a third-party title. You just don't get any third-party titles now because there's just such a high entry fee in terms of development.
They are third-party titles. It's just a case of it's only the really big ones that are really developing.
Well,
Ubisoft's
a third-party developer, but hugely overbloated budgets. Everything has to be a franchise.
And they're afraid to take risks.
Yeah.
Like female assassins.
Risks are the small pot of tea. Oh god.
You okay?
Yeah, I should be alright. Just a couple of zombies. I still don't have a sword. I'm doing bare knuckle fighting.
I'm gonna have to just make you a sword.
Come at me. Come at me, bro. Click, 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 click.
You had that achievement. What's that giving me again?
So that's pretty much E3 code. I think we've only got like 10 minutes left anyway.
Probably.
So, but this is an experiment. I'm hoping to upload the audio to SoundCloud and some other services, and the video is going to go on YouTube.
Yes.
Feel free to cast scorn. You probably heard all the sounds, like the fridge, the birds, possibly the neighbour banging next door, us clicking. This isn't a professional podcast at all. This is first foray into something that might be a bit too difficult for us to attain at the moment. Basically, just got one big room.
Yeah.
That's our house, is one big room.
Yeah.
So we can't even like go somewhere quiet and record this. And maybe next time I should probably like stop a bit more when I'm talking. I guess there's going to be lots of ums and ahs because I kept doing plot, so I'm trying Minecraft.
That's probably better than what I do because I'm just bad speaker, full stop.
Oh, you're alright, but then you have the common sense to stand still when you're talking. I'm trying to mine and have some sort of.
I can't do two things at once. Coherence. I fail as a female.
You fail as a female. Any last words before we kind of?
How do you end these things?
How do you end these things?
Do we do a JonTron?
Do a JonTron. Just say random stuff. I ain't into that shit. But then you stop.